Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's word for our special meditation this morning is recorded in St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, reading from verse 41 through verse 44 as follows. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior and the Head of his church, beloved hearers of his wonderful word. By God's grace and by God's grace alone, we here in our Christian congregation, as well as in our entire fellowship for that matter, have an entirely different attitude toward Christian giving and Christian stewardship in general than the run-of-the-mill church member today. We regard the manner and the matter of our offerings to the Lord a sacred trust, a blessed purpose and privilege, part of our worship, the fruit of our faith, and a beacon of testimony to others that we truly love him who loved us first. Indeed, upon even a casual reading of the text before us this morning, Christian giving is not the hush-hush, private, secretive matter that many people want to make it to be. In other words, that their offerings are simply between them and the Lord, and nobody should be concerned about them. Nobody should know about them. Not the treasurer of the congregation. Not even the pastor. But we see the Lord Jesus himself observing the giving practices of the people in the temple at Jerusalem and then pointing them out to his disciples and to us as examples. Positive examples and negative examples, and showing us the standards on which he judges their offerings. Give heed, therefore, to the Savior's words in this text before us, beloved brethren, and then judge your giving as Jesus himself judges it, both according to quantity and according to quality. We know that God's people in the Old Testament were required by law to give a tithe, or 10% of their income, as their basic and minimal offering to the Lord. In addition, they gave freely special offerings for specific causes, for specific needs and purposes, including the maintenance of the temple in Jerusalem and its worship services. Those latter gifts were deposited or cast into various receptacles or collection boxes in the temple. In the women's court of the temple, for example, there were 13 such collection boxes, trumpet-shaped boxes for this purpose, each one marked with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It was these containers, collectively called the treasury here in our text, over against which the Lord Jesus himself sat and observed how the people cast money into those collection boxes. No one told the Lord Jesus that it was none of his business to look at the offerings that were given. Besides, these boxes were clear for everyone to see. But now we want to understand just what it was that the Lord Jesus was looking for, what he saw, and how he judged the people's offerings, so that we in turn can judge our own offerings by his heavenly standards. Our text tells us that many that were rich cast in much, and that is to be expected, of course. The Lord judges according to quantity. Of this there can be no doubt whatsoever, in spite of the fact that our flesh may feel the opposite way. The Lord speaks in both the Old and the New Testaments about abounding in our gifts to him, about giving richly of the first fruits of our increase, according to the blessing of the Lord our God, which he hath given us, that we give as God hath prospered us. And we know that the Lord, in his wonderful providence to us, never has shortchanged us in any way. And nowhere in our text does the Savior criticize those who cast in much. They had it to give. They were giving out of their ability. If they were not giving out of their ability, they would have been robbing God, as he himself says through the prophet Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He promises gracious blessings to those who give richly into his treasury, saying through the Apostle Paul, for example, he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. But richly, is not enough. For the rich, in our text, gave, Jesus said, out of their abundance. It was no sacrifice for them to cast in much. They had plenty. But the poor widow, on the other hand, a beggar, according to the Greek of our text, or a bag lady, as we might even call her today, of her want, out of her great poverty, did cast in all that she had. Her two mites amounted to, in our money, approximately 1/32nd of a common laborer's day's wages. A plug nickel in comparison to the offerings of the rich. And yet, though those two mites would not have gone very far in the maintenance of the temple, they were a great sacrifice on her part, because she gave everything that she had. That's as if you or I gave 100% of our income, in addition to the balance in our 401k account, our IRAs, and any other investments we might have. That, indeed, would be a sacrifice. And that's what each and every one of us should be ready and willing to give to the Lord for all His benefits toward us, who has never, ever shortened His hand to us in our needs. Wouldn't it be worth it, we might ask. The poor lady in our text thought so. Sacrifice is often defined as giving until it hurts. But that's not a very appropriate definition, considering the fact that nothing is said in our text about this poor widow hurting, or starving, or even going bankrupt because of the great sacrifice she made. Where sacrifices hurt is in the selfish flesh of man, which feels hurt if he cannot spend everything he has on himself. But notice how the Lord Jesus praises the quantity of the widow's offering. This poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. More, actually, relatively speaking, than the sum total of all the rich offerings which had been given. She gave more than richly. She gave sacrificially. She also gave in an exemplary manner. Her two mites were an example, both to Jesus' disciples and to us. Jesus himself points that out. She did not say, as she might have, "I can't afford to give to the church's maintenance fund today. I only have two mites, you see, and I need to take care of myself and my children." Neither did she give only one of the two mites, saving the other $3.75 for perhaps a small meal for herself and for her children, taking care of herself and her children first. No, she turned her pockets inside out. We might say she turned her purse upside down. And of her want, out of her great poverty, she did cast in all that she had. Now, what an example that is to all of us. For although we, by God's grace, and by God's grace alone, give very generously for the support of the Lord's kingdom here in our congregation, we've never yet been put to the ultimate test of discipleship regarding our giving. As Jesus himself describes it in Luke 14:33, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." So the question is, would you be willing to go that far for the sake of the Lord Jesus, His Word, and His Church? Would I? Oh, may God grant that all of us sincerely take to heart the exemplary giving of the poor widow in our text, and be ready, if necessary, to go and do likewise. For what shall a man give, when push comes to shove, as we say, in exchange for his soul? Is there a limit that we would put on our sacrifices when it comes to our own soul's welfare? Does it sound like a sacrifice that we're simply incapable of giving? Oh, then despair of your own ability. Despair of your own strength and will to carry it out when and if the time comes that such a sacrifice is required of us. And cling instead to your Rock of Ages, declaring with the Apostle Paul, "Yes, I can do all things, even that, through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Now, the poor widow has set us quite an example, beloved brethren, with the richness of her giving, with her sacrificial giving, with her exemplary giving. But she's not done yet, as the Lord Jesus hastens to point out. She just didn't give all that she had on her at the time, like somebody who simply gives the loose change that's in his pocket on a Sunday morning. She gave limitlessly. She gave even all her living, Jesus said. Now, wasn't that irresponsible on her part? That she not take at least a little consideration for herself and for her family before she gave away all her living? Some might think so. But the Lord Jesus did not. In fact, he praised her. The quantity of her gift was unlimited in her simple imitation of the Savior's unlimited sacrifice for poor, lost, and condemned sinners. Some might say, "But Pastor, in the real world," as if this text and the lesson Jesus is teaching us is purely theoretical. In the real world, she should have budgeted out her money and given perhaps a tithe, a tenth of those two mites, and then kept the rest for herself. Brethren, this is no parable of the Lord Jesus. This is a real, live person he's talking about. Who gave her all into the Lord's treasury, into the maintenance fund, we'd say. Talk about quantity in Christian giving. This poor widow puts every single one of us to shame. And when we judge our giving, as Jesus himself judges it, in the person of this as the person of this widow, even to its quantity, there is plenty of room for improvement. By his grace, let us heed the example of this poor widow in our text, whose generosity was recorded in these holy scriptures for our learning, the Bible tells us, not as just some interesting incident. Let us live also in this respect unto him which died for us and rose again. To him who made the ultimate sacrifice for us in the quantity of poverty, degradation, persecution, and want that he endured, to make us heirs with him of everlasting, unspeakable riches and the glories of heaven. But, my dear friends and brethren, the Lord Jesus does not only judge our giving our offerings according to quantity, even though that seems to be the thrust of the text before us. He also judges our giving according to quality. For you see, that widow's offering, as great as it was in relative quantity, would not at all have been pleasing to the Savior had it not been motivated and characterized by spiritual factors. Factors by which alone our works are pleasing to God in heaven. The Lord Jesus implies this in his praise of her gift, first of all, but also in his holy precious word, he sets before us the principles according to which he judges our good works as Christians. And this is highly important. The quality of our gifts and offerings to the Lord is established by those things which cannot be seen, which cannot be measured, which cannot be quantified, which cannot be compared by our fellow men to those same qualities in other people. Things like faith, love, willingness, cheerfulness, humility, and confidence. Only God can see those things. Only God knows whether those things are present in our hearts and lives, and only we ourselves can know in our own hearts. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, the writer to the Hebrews tells us. In order to be God-pleasing, our gifts must flow from true faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And they must be motivated by his love for us because we love him because he first loved us. How could it be otherwise for us Christians? For ye Christians, know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What therefore was it that moved and motivated the poor widow to give as she did? And what moves us Christians, every true Christian? What moves you and what moves me to do likewise? St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, the love of Christ constraineth us. That's what does it. All other factors which are characteristic of God-pleasing gifts have to flow from faith, from confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as the fruits, as the evidence, as the proof of our faith, faith which only God can see. Quality offerings are therefore given cheerfully and willingly, not grudgingly or of necessity, not just because we have to, not just because the budget depends upon us. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, for God loveth a cheerful giver, Paul writes. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. No one compelled the poor widow to give as she gave. No one compelled her to part with her last two mites against her will, laid it on her conscience. She gave willingly. For if love for the Savior and what he has done for you and me for our salvation, if love for the Savior is not enough to make a giver willing, If gratitude for our salvation won't move a person to give, then the offering might not as well be given at all. Compare the offerings of Abel and Cain in the fourth chapter of Genesis. Why was it that Abel's offering was accepted by the Lord and Cain's was not? It wasn't the nature of the offering. It wasn't the quantity of the offering. It's that Abel gave his offering out of faith, and Cain did not. Moreover, the widow's gift was cast into the treasury humbly, with no pretense or boasting. What praise of men could she possibly expect for the gift of two measly mites? He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, Paul writes to the Romans chapter 12. That is, with humility. Not like the scribes and the Pharisees who stood right up in front of everybody and said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I give tithes of all that I possess, and I possess a lot. And I give a lot. And I should get credit for it, too. Not only from God, but from everybody here in his house who observes me. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Don't hide them. But glorify not you, but glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what a Christian example does, also in the matter of giving offerings. That's following the humble example of the woman in our text. The glory of God for his enabling grace to her, and then also the glory of God in her example to us as well, is extremely important. And finally, her gift was given confidently, trusting in the Lord's gracious providence to take care of all of her temporal needs after she had cast in all her living, all that she had. See, there's a key test, isn't it? Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things of this life, shall be added unto you. Our flesh thinks exactly the opposite. Let's take care of the things of this life first, as we draw up a budget, as the children learn how to draw up a budget in school. First things first, mortgage, car payment, groceries, insurance, and all those things down the line, even including a certain amount for recreation. And then we'll see how much is left out of which to give to the Lord. That's backwards. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as the widow did, who cast in all her living and said, now, Lord, it's all up to you from now on. Hear what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound unto you, toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You'll never go broke because of what you gave to the Lord. He will see to it. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Put me to the test, says the Lord through the prophet Malachi. If I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And of course, we trust that promise of the Lord, don't we? We put him to the test every day, don't we? May God forgive our spiritual short-sightedness, our spiritual fleshliness with regard to these things. What a privilege indeed of our high calling in Christ Jesus is the opportunity to support his kingdom here on earth with offerings of both quantity and, above all, quality. Rich, sacrificial, exemplary, and limitless offerings, which anyone can identify and judge as being fruits of faith, pleasing to God for Jesus' sake, loving, cheerful, humble, confident offerings, which the Lord himself judges as worthy of his praise. All for the sake of and to the glory of his limitless grace to us in Christ Jesus our Savior. Therefore, Paul says, I speak not by commandment. I'm not telling you what you have to do. I'm not requiring of you something that the Lord God himself doesn't require. But to prove, that is, to test the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the grace of God in Christ Jesus that should be our motivator. It's the grace of God to us in Christ Jesus that should be our enabler in giving richly to his kingdom. So may God richly grant to us his grace in and through his precious word, that we never fail this test of our discipleship, but abound more and more in sanctified Christian giving, to the praise of his abundant, limitless mercy in Christ Jesus, and to the glory of his holy name. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus, your Savior, unto life everlasting. Amen.